Welcome to the Revital Health Podcast. I'm Jodie Duval, and I'm a functional naturopath in Perth, WA. This is a place where you can expand your knowledge on how to optimise your health and realise your full potential. We'll have cutting-edge information with expert guests and having lots of fun along the way. Get ready to be empowered and motivated to reach your higher vitality and find your ultimate potential. Let's go! Revital Health is a proud member of the Health Optimization Network. Health Optimization Medicine and Practice is a 501c3 non-profit on a mission to educate doctors and practitioners on how to optimize for health rather than treating disease. If you're interested in becoming a practitioner or donating, head over to homehope.org. Revital Health Clinic is the first and only of its kind exclusive health optimization clinic in Australia. With state-of-the-art technology, protocols and personalised healthcare, compounded medicines made specifically to your testing individualities. To find out more, head to revitalhealth.com.au. We are back with another Meet the Expert episode, and today I'm chatting with Danielle on integrative cancer care. So Danielle Brown is one of our practitioners and naturopathic practitioners at Revital Health. And today I get to talk to her about her journey into cancer care, emphasising proactive and preventative approaches. We talk about her involvement in cancer research around cannabis and key discussions. We talk about integrative education, impact of environmental factors, and the importance of small sustainable lifestyle changes. And we also explore the non-linear healing process that is naturopathic medicine and the value of systems thinking. Danielle also talks us through her program and her stepped approach that enables the best outcome and best patient-centered care. And we really talk about the empowerment of having proper education and advocating a really big wellness approach to health. So we hope you enjoy and give us any feedback you have about these episodes.
Okay, so we have the next expert here on Meet the Expert series. Danielle, this is not your first one on the podcast.
It is.
Early days. Yeah. Like number one or two.
Yeah, I know. But it's way back.
It's crazy. So we were talking about cancer and cannabis back then. So now we are here. Danielle is one of the beautiful clinicians here at Revital Health. Her focus here is integrated cancer care. And we are here to talk all about that, plus all the array of wonderful things that we go around the outside of these big discussions that we have. So, you know, proactive and preventative versus reactive medicine. We also want to talk through light. That is your specialty. We love talking about light. And also a little bit more about the environment, cellular changes, you know, so that systems medicine approach with everything else that interacts with us on a daily basis. So let's just go quickly, though, because you have such an incredible array of things that you have done
in the last... Squished it in.
I don't know. I feel like it's been 20 years, but it hasn't.
Five, maybe six.
Goodness me. Wow.
Yeah.
It feels like you have done and fitted so much into that time.
Yeah, my body feels that too.
But you've just really gone full steam ahead, but also had, you know, integrations in between, which is amazing. So if you need studies, did honours... Then you move straight into research. So talk us through your journey so far.
So I think well, it's interesting. If we go back into focus on cancer care, when I was studying, finishing my degree, I would avoid the classes that talked about cancer just because of the fear around it and just so much unknowns. Yeah. And like if you can just turn your head, then it's okay. And then, I don't know, something switched. And I ended up going over to do the summer research program that was available at the time, and that was diving into cancer and medicinal cannabis, and sitting with Janet, Dr. Janet Sloss over there, watching her take patients, and she works in cancer care, and like it just screamed out that this is a space that I really want to drill into. So a nice 2-3 year research journey, looking at primarily brain cancer and the use of medicinal cannabis, but that then exposes you across all kinds of patients with cancer as well. Stepped into teaching and education accidentally after through everything that happened in 2020, which I think has really helped extend and apply my practice by really talking to complexity and systems medicines and thinking in systems. And so in exploring that with students, and I'm also a learner in that space. It comes back and I can apply that in my practice. And it's this idea, I think that's I think I want to coin it, like trademark stretchy thinking. And wanting to give people the tools, and not, you know, I'm talking also as an educator, but as a clinician, give patients the tools to be able to see those drivers of their health outside of maybe what they're putting in, not just the food, but what's going on in your environment. What are all these different pillars of health? What's your financial well-being outside of your mental, physical, emotional aspects? Let's look at the environmental drivers, and it's remarkable what shifts you can get, and even just highlighting them and calling them out, and having that heard. There's that moment to learn, which is, you know, getting nerdy into naturopathic philosophy and our principles as the doctor as teacher aspect, which I think, yeah, definitely a passion that comes through. And I think maybe that's what spurred like this fast tracking of research and learn as much as I can, so then I can share as much as possible back out where it can be applicable and used for folks and patients, particularly going through cancer.
Yeah, absolutely. I think it's a drive for clinicians in the beginning, and you sort of like try and fit all it in, right? So you're like, if I've got years of clinician behind me or in front of me, so I need to like, let's go, like dive deep, really integrate, like really knuckle down, like let's learn, let's get everything we can and then apply for future, you know, and then all the experience comes in as well.
That idea of lifelong learners, I think we say it, and like of course everyone's a lifelong learner, but I think particularly in the space, in a clinician space, is that there's no other choice. and that is a core driver, I think, to keep you motivated and energized and wanting to connect with others to share that.
Yeah, and the cutting edge, you know, so you know, you're at the cutting edge of a lot of these things because you're researching, and before research even hits clinician and like clinical aspects and practice, you are applying and driving. And with the beautiful systems medicine, you don't need to wait for a product. You don't need to wait. It's the ideas, it's the research that's shown to you, but those ideas don't get taught within the sort of the realm of education for years and years and years. So you know, a lot of this seems so scary and a block around, you know, a lot of clients are blocked in the sense that surely something so simple is not going to help me. You know, surely I need to spend huge amounts of money or take crazy amounts of products or buy all the shiny, you know, really expensive things to buy hack my health. But, you know, they don't even have the lighting correct. Like, it's so simple and free, but people shy away from it and have a block around it.
It's really interesting, like that perceived value that we align with certain supplements, therapies, where sometimes it's that baseline lifestyle medicine that can give you the most sustainable outcomes, and it's free to integrate in as well. And then, as you say, coming back, you know, when you're reading into the research and translating that into, I think it's knowledge translation to practice, there's, you know, you don't need the full picture. Well, that's the aspect of systems thinking, and we understand that the body systems cascade upon each other. So say, you know, you've got some GIT issues, it might not be that you need probiotic. It might be that we need to support your nervous system. And it might be that we need to regulate your circadian rhythms, which is simply, you know, avoiding artificial light at night. More Alan. Not super keen on Alan. But yeah, you know, those aspects which seemingly don't have, you know, that. And the thing is, it can be subtle changes as well. And so when you're coming from, you know, patients that I primarily recommend, patients with cancer, it is, you know, it's the biomedical model, A to B, and you take this and then you feel this or you don't feel this and you support this. Where is the space that we're working in naturopathic medicine? It's not linear, and sometimes it can take that little bit longer, but there's subtleties that are changing along the way, and it's about tuning in with the body and recognizing those aspects, which then gives you more feedback loops to kind of encourage further changes that optimize your environment, say. So you know, not just for general health and quality of life, but if you are going through a diagnosis, a cancer diagnosis, I mean, these are those foundational aspects, because often radical change is usually one of the most commonalities to getting a really good outcome in a cancer diagnosis. It's subtle, a sudden shift. And those sudden shifts can start subtly, which doesn't seem to make sense, but that's systems thinking.
And I think it's because it's such different words, you know. And I was even hearing it on a podcast I was listening to today with Cal Newport, and it was a fabulous episode, but he's talking about variety of information and the wording and placing it in wording that the greater audience has yet to understand what it means, but placing it within a format that they can actually now understand, right?
Yeah.
So it's a really difficult one, because it's completely against all these medical models that we've been used to for years, and also relied upon in a comfort sake, right? We have to be uncomfortable to reach any outcome of growth.
Yeah, that's interesting.
But
yeah.
then medical system is just giving you like comfort, don't worry, we got it, we'll take it out, we'll blast it with this, and then off you go, you know, remission, or worst case scenario, you know, other. But it's sort of like taking it out of their hands of anything else. So it's almost like comfort and safety in that sense. I see it like that.
Yeah, interesting. Yeah, there's how quick, like when you are kind of faced with something traumatic shaking up your world, we want to look outside for that assistance. But then we have to be really mindful to bring the power back to self, because ultimately, I mean, we're probably jumping a million miles ahead here, but you know, what we do as naturopaths, it's not us doing the healing, it's the individual integrating the information, be that through narrative medicine or through the supplementations, the lifestyle, the dietary, all the other aspects that are changing. I mean, it's just providing the information to make those changes.
It's just and even a place to just be like, have you done it?
Have that accountability.
Yeah.
And I think that's that idea of giving the power of healing back to the person.
Yeah.
And I think I see that a lot, and I hear that a lot with patients where they say, oh, I've just taken it because they told me to take it.
Yeah.
And that's not like just in that patient population. We hear that across
everywhere.
You know, taking PPIs, for example. I mean, that's in the headlines at the minute.
Yes.
Now, how
you
know, people will take them for years, which I think, what did they say, 16 days? No more than 16 days.
Yeah.
And we just keep taking it.
The carcinogenic properties after that.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
tell people that, and they look at you like you're some outer space alien that they've never connected with before.
I think even in saying all this, it's not a hierarchy of medicine either. So when I'm, you know, in that integrative space, that's not a hierarchy. It's not saying that, well, this systems approach through naturopathic medicine is more important than biomedical. It's bringing them together and integrating and optimizing both approaches, both systems of medicines.
Yeah.
But it does come with an acknowledgement that there are different philosophies that grow each one of those and where they're grounded in.
Exactly.
And, you know, the strengths of biomedicine, sometimes surgery is number one, let's get in and take this, whatever needs to be removed. And then maybe we're looking at chemotherapy or radiation, immunotherapy afterwards. But what can naturopathic medicine do to assist that, to improve your patient, to improve the outcomes, or optimize outcomes, improve quality of life, and really, you know, explore, you know, it's not about what drives cancer. There's a million and one things. We can't really there's not really a pinpoint.
No.
Even if it's a genetic aspect,
still not.
There's still a handful, many handfuls of drivers that may flick that switch on. But you start making changes to optimize your life, so there isn't that reoccurrence, and we step into that preventative space as well.
And this is what that integrative cancer care really truly means, is that, you know, you're not for or against anything else out there. It's more about, well, against really, it's about, you know, whatever the client at the time needs for them, obviously, from what they've been obviously recommended, told, given advice for, and that sits well with them. But I think I like to bring it back to any disease state or disease state. Yeah. So, you know, you go see the gastroenterologist, you have stomach issue, you have bowel issue, you know, whatever's going on. You have an autoimmune condition that they say, right, on medicine for the rest of your life, and then you'll be fine. Come back for your, you know, 5-yearly, every yearly, whatever colonoscopies, you're all good.
Mm.
Okay, well, that's good. Like, we're looking for progress. We need to have those testings done.
Yeah.
We need to have sometimes medication to, you know, impact the immune system so it doesn't progress further. But there's other things that we do in naturopathic medicine to then help support the immune system so that doesn't have to be their lifelong journey,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
Same thing with cancer. It's, you know, they've gotten there for a particular purpose. And then from that point, you know, yes, you might have to do treatment, but that's that short-term little speck in the sand, really.
Oh, absolutely.
And then what else are you doing to then look at what happened and what got you to that point of disease, no matter what it is, cancer, GI, you know, brain, whatever, right? Yeah. So I think a lot of people, again, from like right back at the start when you said about having fear, you know, and cancer, this war against cancer, and it really has driven a huge amount of fear for people, including me, you know.
Yeah.
I was in studies as well, the same, and I was like, I am never treating anyone who has cancer. And, you know, the first 2 years of my clinic, all these people started trickling through with cancer.
Right.
Like,
interesting. Yeah.
Oh, you're so annoying, universe. But I think it's, just changing that perception around it. And that's what I love about what you do, Danielle. It's just so amazing how you can look at it in that perspective and bring that overview to people about what it is, and then that prevention of further, you know, issues, whatever that may be, even psychological issues after these things.
Yeah, and I think I'll often get asked a lot, like, how do you work in this space? It seems like a very emotional space, and of course there's no denying, but I think with anyone's health, when it's not in an optimal space, there's an emotional aspect to it, and so it's not, I mean, it's not platforming the cancer, and that's why we talk to it as a patient with cancer, not a cancer patient.
Yes,
because it's a person, there's a person first, and then there is a shift of disease, there's something manifesting that is not what we want, but you know that it's just like meeting any other person, and if we can kind of, it's like deplatforming the label that it's given while still acknowledging all the back end stuff that we want to know, like what type of cancer, what kind of genetic aspects, what are we working with, very powerful information, but also how are you traveling through this? What are the things that's standing out for you? And that's, you know, it's not a cut and paste effort. Even if someone's with the same cancer type on the same medication, they're not going to get the same kind of care because there's likely different symptomology. And it is, you know, an aspect of what we do. We are holding that space through treatment to manage symptomology. The below ground aspects, or that slower sustainable changes, are also filtering through, so you can shift towards that more optimal state.
And be in better health in some circumstances than
And so it's always interesting, like that question that I get asked often, like, oh, I don't know how you do it, and then I don't think there's anything particular to it. It's just, if anything, I find it such a privilege position to that someone has chosen to sit and talk with me in an acute presentation, where maybe they've got a poor prognosis, if we want to give it a timeline or whatever it might be, everybody's different, but they want to sit down and see what they can do to get the best and improve their quality of life, I mean who wouldn't want to sit in that spot, to be honest, and yes, it comes with like losses and tough times, and but you get to explore that with the patient and be there on that.
Yeah.
I mean, the word journey is a little difficult. I don't know if it's a journey, but be there in that time and space,
step by step
with them.
And it's, you know, I guess the point is that we all are heading towards, you know, a certain, you know, end of physicality. And it's just, you know, it's any disease state can bring that to someone. Diabetes, you know, cardiovascular disease. But there has just been so much emphasis on these cancers. You know, it's just, I think, just media again, right? Just media and TV and movies. And it's just the escalation that we've seen in the last years. But no one really has had that cure of cancer yet.
Yeah.
And because they're looking in the
well, yeah, I mean, that's we're getting to like the human genome project, and like we'll be able to find those switches. And I think it's something like less than 15%, and I think that could be wrong, might be lower. Cancers in the genetic, there's a, and then that's talks to the body as a system, right? That's highly adaptable, and those shifts that are going on, they're adapting to our environment. Now we need to explore our environment and bringing in light health and, you know, maybe some different biohacking practices to support that person to give the body the right signals, because when it's in the right environment, the body knows how to heal, and it somehow that can give some power back around the fear as well, knowing that your body does know how to heal. And it's not, we're not talking in a curative space, that's not at all where I work in, but it gives the healing back to the person, and you're able maybe to see instead of like this fear aspect of cancer. And I think Dr. Sackbush has such a beautiful analogy around cancer as this, you know, if we're looking at a solid cancer like a tumor, that tumor thinks that there's nothing else existent in the world. It is surviving for its life and it's completely disconnected. And what we want to do is reconnect. If we take that analogy that the body knows, well, it's not an analogy, it's a point of our principles, the body knows how to heal when it's put in the right space, then that ability of the immune system to reconnect and with that tumor cell and start going, oh, actually, you're not meant to be here. And so can we optimize the immune system in that space and reconnect rather than fight what's in our body? And like this war on cancer, you know, it's not, like, no one wants that diagnosis, but is it an opportunity to reconnect with your body?
Absolutely. As a
whole, and not just your body, you know, your body sitting within the systems, within our whole society. What can shift and move there? Where has the feedback loops come back and isolated this cell, and can we reconnect it and make it a positive feedback loop, or at least like a stable one? When we're not in absolute chaos in the system.
I remember once you told me when we were having a training session, and we were talking about, I think it was a client or a story of someone else that you've been listening to, and it was a client, and it was a tumor, and you know, they come to recognize that, you know, to connect with that tumor, and then rather than ignoring it and trying to, you know, play blissful ignorance around it, or just like, you are here to harm me, out you go, is that negative connection again. So that, you know, sort of almost like, we'd call it bad energy, I guess, but that reconnection, you know. But it's also, yeah, as you're saying this, I'm like, well, no wonder these things are being created in our body. The larger picture is of disconnection as well, isn't it?
It is.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, that's, if we're looking at those, if we zoom right out to like public health aspects, looking at that disconnection, you know, that there is a spiking in cancer cases in the last 2 to 5 years, probably more in the last two-ish.
Yeah.
And what has happened in our world in this last 2-3 years, and in terms of the disconnect? And you know, it's all theoretical, but these conversations are important to have, and that's what we look at in this when we're working in this space. It's not just looking at the cell, looking at the genetics, looking at your current medications, looking where we can optimize. Yes, we're doing all that, but we're also going, what's happening in your world? And usually, you know, it's not the first meeting with someone that you expect to connect at that level. And that's why we want to I always will encourage multiple consults and returns to come in, and let's keep evolving and exploring your story and looking where we can optimize.
Yeah, it can never be done in one.
No.
And that's how we run our programs here. And that's how I've learned to run mine. It's literally, I refuse if someone is going to say that they're only going to come in and have a gander.
Yeah.
Like, we don't gander. You're either in or you're out.
Yeah.
And it's because we know that the benefit's not going to be there for you. You literally are wasting your time to just have one session almost.
Yeah,
there might be information and you might gain something, obviously. Mm-hmm. But if you're wanting to go through a process, it needs to be multiples.
It's coming back to that connection aspect again. Because you need to maintain and build and grow that.
Yeah, absolutely. So I want to come back to the programs in a minute and talk through, you know, sort of what that looks like for you and sort of like a context around that.
Yeah.
But first I want to go through a little bit more on light with you.
Oh, light. Yeah.
Don't forget that. I'm talking about light with you.
Yeah.
But also into sort of that systems medicine after, if you want. Wanted to touch on, like, you've just sent through a beautiful article this morning.
Oh my goodness.
In our group chat.
Yeah.
About Schumann resonance and the cardio renal connection.
Mind blowing.
The earth's resonance affecting and shifting disease presentations.
Correct.
I think it's
actually being driven more from, you know, your earth science aspect, but then the curiosity of diving in and going, is there patterning? Patterning, again, when we're talking about systems medicine, it's all about pattern recognition. And sometimes you need to zoom right in or you need to zoom right out. But it's all the same. Getting a bit like quantum physics-y, it's like the Mandelbrot set, where it's the same pattern.
Yeah.
No matter what.
In and out.
Yeah. But yeah, that article, fascinating. The way that these external forces in our universe, not just our world.
Yeah.
I mean, we're talking before just about systems, about societal systems.
Yeah,
and, how you get through day to day life and out on a global scale. Now go universal, where we can see, you know, the different shifts in electromagnetic fields coming in on Earth, driven by our star, how that affects health. I think there's quite a few papers around cardio aspects, so you get that uptick. But the renal aspect's really interesting as well. But those, you know, this is the universal forces at play that and systems medicine, where we can zoom right out and be like, oh, okay,
whoa.
And I think I was chatting with you on the message, saying, wouldn't it be amazing if, like, we could explore this medicine?
Yeah, not diagnose, explore from that perspective of, like, what shifts have happened at the same time that you were experiencing.
Yeah, so I always put it into my container of understanding it with patients with cancer. So a handful of the chemotherapy drugs will have issues on cardiotoxicity and renal aspects. Mm. Now imagine if we could zoom out and go, oh, okay, well, we're going to be facing, the sun's got this aspect facing at us. I mean, I don't know if we can do that, but we can look at and go, right, maybe we don't do that treatment this week. We'll just skip it a week.
Mm.
So we get better outcomes, less impact on side effects for that patient.
Mm.
I mean, that's blue sky thinking.
Yeah, I know, but you know, how far have we come with so many other things like AI and et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah.
So really like that. And that's what excites me most about these sorts of articles and research, that it's done, you know, it's there, and it's like, well, this is it. So that's like baseline. Let's explore more of this sort of ideas, you know, any theories around this is just going to come thick and fast now.
Yeah, and driven by that curiosity.
Exactly. Right? Exactly.
Mm.
So like lighting and all this sort of circadian rhythm is a huge component of where we've gone wrong.
Definitely talking about environmental drivers.
Oh, I know, but even I was just thinking about when you were saying about the star, you know, obviously the moon
water,
we haven't even added the moon in. That's
the complexity explodes, right?
Yeah, like when you say, I love it when I say to a woman that, you know, the moon and the full moon and, you know, have impact on tides also has impact on menstruation and anything that flows within the body, including our blood, and they just look at you like, whoa. I think it's almost like that connect, like they're just like, I'm connected. Yes. Like, it's like that, just drawing that line between the two, going,
yeah,
I feel this. I'm like Mother Earth now. This is brilliant.
Yeah. And plus, like, you're not just this
thing
being floating around on a big blue planet in space. You're like, actually, I'm part of this.
Yes.
I'm with a bigger system. I'm connected.
Yeah. So I guess in consults, I think it's like connecting to the person who's supporting you and yourself, but also to that which we are living on. It's just beautiful.
It is.
Yeah.
It is. And, you know, it starts tipping into a little bit of that esoteric aspect, but I think that's only, again, because we just don't know how to measure it and explore it in a way in that kind of narrative with the right words.
Yeah.
As touched, like, back earlier.
Yeah.
How important it is to find the right words to explore it.
Yeah.
And I think that's, like, with light health, when you start talking to that specifically, the language that you use there, you know, sometimes you feel like, oh, well, the sun, I think controversial, but we've been sold the idea that we need to avoid the sun. I think it was even an article a day or two ago saying, do not go, if you go out into the sun, you increase your heart attack risk. And honestly, like, we need critical engagement here.
Absolutely.
Because what on earth, how have we got to the point where, I mean, it's, I think, probably clickbait, but it's there. Nonetheless, people read it. The sun has driven our entire biology, that we would not be here if it was not for the sun. And it's only 200 years, maybe a bit less, that we've suddenly become living indoors with artificial light around electromagnetic frequencies, light on at night, completely confusing our circadian biology, and could we correlate that to some disease presentations an increase in disease presentations? Curiosity, we should be asking those questions, and they should be asked honestly and openly without criticism.
Absolutely. The discussion.
There's power in understanding that, and there's power in having, like, your dim lights at night, or having completely red light.
Yeah.
Your home
lit
up red at night.
Yeah.
Who
cares about the brothel? They've done it right.
You know, I mean, the community members might knock on your door and be like, did you know? And you're like,
Yes.
Well, thank you so much. But I've got really good circadian biology, so I'm happy about that. I think, like, even the artificial light at night, avoiding that, getting your red lights up, if not red light, yellow, just reducing your blue light exposure at night. I think one of the things still makes it really difficult is if we're working inside. And all of us, majority, are making that time to get outside and get the sun.
It feels so much better for it.
It's amazing. Gosh. I mean, that's that Instagram reel going around. Like, you're like, I don't feel good.
Yeah.
Like, have you walked? Have you drank? What? Yeah. Have you been outside?
You're no.
I mean, that just seems too hard.
Just want to stay feeling shit.
Yeah. Yeah. But, you know, it's just, going outside in the sun and if we're, you know, really looking to optimize that circadian biology, when it comes to the sun, it's not just, I mean, I'm giving my light prescription here, but it's pretty much, I give it, everybody gets it a little bit adjusted for each person, but you need that morning, like, specifically the morning light. And that's, you know, we're talking about vitamin D and how we absorb vitamin D. If you get up, you know, get yourself ready, go straight to work, and then you go out in the sun at 11, and maybe you can do 10 minutes. I mean, at this time of the year, maybe 10, 15 minutes. You might have built a bit of a solar callus. But if you haven't, and then you'll just get the arrhythmia, the red skin, and you're probably not optimizing your vitamin D. But if you went out in the morning when you got up, right, as close to sunrise as possible, grab yourself your tea or preferably a green tea, coffee, whichever. Make sure you've got some food with it. Go see the sun. No glasses. As much skin as you can feel comfortable exposing for 3 minutes. I mean, minimum 3 minutes. As long as you can possibly do in the morning, and then go back out at 11. Your body's got the signals to bring up melanin in the skin, to start sulfation of cholesterol, to start building vitamin D. And I mean, these are the intricacies that aren't taught about.
No.
And maybe we're told we're a little bit Well, what do you mean? Morning sun? I'm just going out at 11. That's when the UV rays are at the optimal time. Yes, but your body doesn't know it because you haven't trained it through circadian biology. Yes. Yeah, so we need to step you through that aspect. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, and we're only talking about vitamin D, and vitamin D, I think, is just a proxy to light exposure. It's not the full story outside of being an extraordinary antioxidant, but also regulating your sleep-wake cycles with melatonin, cortisol. It's like the tip of the iceberg.
It's the pro-hormone, right? It's that thing that just drives so many other things.
Yeah.
But we're only measuring that as a part of sun exposure.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But it's doing much more. And then again, it's just the science being able to catch up and the accepted science.
Yeah.
Being able to tell that story in a where we're getting those broad population statistics that go, actually, that sun in the morning before air quality doesn't really have UV incidences. Mm. So please get out in it.
Yeah, let's do it. Yeah.
Take your sunglasses off.
Yeah, exactly.
And if you are concerned, then maybe go out maybe 5-10 minutes in the middle of the day in peak summer to you still need it.
You do. Plants can't grow without it.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, let's
it's bring just so bloody simple. Like,
Jack how Cruise into think? The room.
Exactly.
Bring his attitude.
But we have melanin inside our brains.
Why
all these things have been proven, shown, science, research. Like,
yeah,
there is no blah blah around any of this stuff.
No,
but still, it is not spoken about.
Yeah, and I think that's back to the complexity of it and that cascading aspect. And again, I think if we're coming back to the research in naturopathic medicine, it is very difficult to research because we're not working with one, it's N equals one always.
Yeah.
Even and if we try to put that across the population, I mean, the patient's always presenting in a different way.
Mm.
The practitioner's also bringing their own expertise, their own intuition, their own biases and lived experiences into the room.
Yeah.
Because we have an array of approaches to come in and support that person. And so that there's an inherent complexity that needs to be embraced and not reduced and simplified.
Yeah.
And when it comes to sunlight, an inherent complexity, let's embrace it.
Yeah.
And explore.
Exactly. And not be scared of that.
Keep our safety parameters, sure.
Yeah.
And it's not about going wild. You don't want to go out and burn every day. That's not going to be great
for you. Of course it's going to be DNA damage. We know that. Anything bad in high quantities high quantities is going to be bad.
Excessive, yeah.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Like chocolate. Of course it's going to be bad for you in high quantities.
Yeah. But what is Dr. Lise Osher, MD in the US? Her thing on chocolate segue here.
Mm.
So you need two squares of dark chocolate every 24 hours for antioxidants.
There you go.
And that's a prescription.
There you go. I'm drinking my hot cacao chocolate right now.
Oh, nice. There you go.
With cayenne pepper in it. Medicating myself right now. Beautiful. All right. So I think this has just been amazing. As you and I know, we could literally talk for hours. And we probably need to do this more often. Like, it's just getting ourselves together. So I thoroughly enjoy these conversations with you. They're just awesome. So we will probably have another one.
Great.
But this is a good overview. But let's just go into your package that you've pulled together program.
Mm.
So what ideally do you see work and that you like to do with clients from an integrated cancer care perspective?
For me, continuity of care is so key. And of course, you know, if it is that you only make it for one consult, we will get so far. But if we can, for me, 3-4 consults are that key space, particularly if you were in active cancer treatment as well, and we're integrating in there. We want to be able to keep connected, we want to be able to make adjustments. Follow with up with different pathology results and meet that person where they are. So for me, that ongoing care is important. Otherwise it kind of we do the discovery and we get the baseline aspects, and I really only know a tiny part.
It's a tip.
And the more that we connect and evolve, the more that our therapeutic relationship grows, and potential that gives a greater potential to identify those points to support you more directly and prioritize what's required for you. Maybe some people, like, their gut health, but maybe it's nervous system that we don't get there in the first one. It's about really expanding outwards.
I think it's unfair to expect that too. Like, it's too much for both clinician and patient or client to be expected to go through that much detail, that much information, then get all the information in one session. And this is the unrealistic nature of what the medical system has provided you. That you see 10 minutes and your problem's sorted. What?
I know.
But you've got like 40, 50 years sometimes of build up to these sorts of problems. And sure, we'll sort it in 10 minutes. Absolutely. You're all good to go.
Yeah.
And so no wonder there's this concurrent re-evaluation or re-looking at it constantly with re-visits to the doctors and et cetera.
Yeah, because it's not that depth and exploration. And again, I keep bringing up complexity. You're only going to get the surface of it.
And there's no truth to the healing. There's no true nature of actually diving in and getting that client to where they need to be.
And even in the initial consults are 75 minutes, usually extending probably to 90, hour and a half, sitting and talking. And then I will sit with all these data points and sense make and work out where can we optimize. Maybe it's treatment outcomes we would like to optimize. Maybe it's supporting quality of life, sleep cycles, digestive system, energy, whatever it might be. We identify those priorities, and then I will also put maybe 4 to 6 hours research into your particular case, on your particular cancer presentation, and bring that back into your treatment plan. And so normally it's about a week until you will get the treatment plan back from me, because it does require that in-depth analysis.
Yeah, you've got to dive into it deep.
And so if we maintain that consistency, we just get greater exploration and better patient-centered outcomes as well, which is, naturopathic medicine. That's what makes us different to all systems of medicine, is our patient-centered care.
Yeah, and it's the education around that I find being most tricky for those who haven't been familiar with our style of medicine, right? Because it's just re-education around, it's an I get it with clients too. Like, I'll have a client and they won't come back for 6 months. And they're like, well, nothing worked.
Yeah.
And now, let's do it. Let's go through all this. Well, I need to start from the beginning because 6 months is a long time.
Yeah.
So let's do another hour now because we can just pretend that didn't happen the last one.
Yeah.
Everything's situational has changed.
Yeah.
So it's just like that momentum, to keep building those momentums is really, really important.
It is. Yeah.
And I love how you've sort of sectioned your 4 sessions out, and it's really for the timeline that you spend with each person for each session, the cost is, I see, to be like really, really good for the time that you spend on those researching external hours as well. But that sort of like that ongoing plan review as well, you're constantly reviewing and revising and drilling down into what needs to change, because our bodies adapt quickly. And they are vast, they're complex in the way that they shift and change. So one treatment won't work the same as the next month. When you look at it, sometimes you need the basics there.
You absolutely do.
Like, foundational basics stay the same.
Yes.
But our, the things that we prescribe are not just physical consuming things. It is different ways that you're seeing things, your perception changes, your mentality, your ability to integrate differently with different boundaries that you're placing on your life. Your exercise regimes, these are all prescriptive. All this stuff is prescriptive, that changes.
And I'll share a really quick story. So this wasn't my patient, and this is in clinic supervision at Endeavor. I was a patient recently. They're going through a cancer treatment at the minute. And I think they've got one or two more cycles left, but they got very positive news on their last cycle. And the way that, their previous cycle, chemotherapy cycle, was very difficult for them. Lots of fatigue, nausea, vomiting. This cycle, on the good news, they got the good news on the day of their infusion, bounce back. And we are complex adaptive systems.
Yes.
That's how we explore the human being. And we intersect with 1,000,001 complex adaptive systems, or just systems in the world. And so we're always changing. And it's remarkable. I mean that talks to the power of the mind in that.
Yeah.
I mean, that's how I see it. And so that importance of having those spaces to check in, because it can be a piece of news that comes to you that changes your outlook.
Mm.
It might be a supplementation where you're like, oh my gosh, that felt really good. And I get that feedback. I'm like, great, that is perfect feedback. What can we do next?
Mm.
What's the next best step? Is always the question on the tip of my tongue.
Absolutely.
When meeting with someone in those return visits.
Yeah, absolutely. Mm. And I use it in wording of sense of like, this is what's next,
mm.
you know, and what next to optimize. Yeah, like looking at that next optimization.
Mm.
Yeah.
Mm.
So, okay, incredible. This has been amazing. So, Dan, you've written a blog.
Yeah.
And that explains what we have also spoken about
mm-hmm.
as well.
Mm-hmm.
Your program will be coming up soon on the website, and then you can book in to see a 10-minute consult, 20-minute consult, and then have a chat through discovery call,
mm-hmm.
And then go and direct into other areas as needed.
Yeah.
So contact is Revital Health. You also have Instagram.
Probably check Revital Health. Yeah. But mine is time and space like the herb. But hopefully get a bit more active than that.
Yeah, but it's our placeholder, and obviously it's something, and we have a lot of different info out on the Instagram for Dan as well. So
awesome.
Yeah, pleasure chatting. And I think we also have to dive into a lot more of all of that stuff.
I come back next. So
didn't
true.
Even touch on psychedelics yet.
Oh my goodness.
I would love to go through with you too.
Interesting.
But I was talking about set and setting just came up then with the chemo on the news, you know, set and setting. It's just key.
Anyway, all right, awesome. Thank you,
Jenny. Thanks for listening to the Revital Health Podcast. We hope you enjoy this episode. Follow us on Instagram and Facebook at Revital Health, as well as our website, revitalhealth.com.au, for upcoming podcasts, workshops, and speaking events. Find out about specials happening in the clinic and all the show notes and links mentioned in the podcast. Please remember that this information discussed here is general information and is not intended to diagnose or treat individuals. Please speak to your healthcare professional before embarking on any new treatments, lifestyle changes, medicines, or supplementation to assess your suitability. Have a wonderful day, and we'll see you again soon.